You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5.
Let's get to our conversation with Dr. Errol Bolden. He is from Barbados. He is an author. And this brief article that I've seen here by Shamar Blunt, "The power of language cannot be underestimated, as it has proven time and again to have significant effects over most developed and developing societies." This was the message delivered by Dr. Errol Sebastian Bolden during the launch of three of his new books at the National Library Service headquarters in Bridgetown on Wednesday. His three books entitled Our Journey to the Other Side of the Storm, They Are Still Not Listening, The Fight for Justice, and The Lord is My Shepherd, My Journey into His Presence, all contain a collection of poems and short spoken word pieces that were created during the first several months of the COVID-19 lockdowns in 2020. So we will start off with that. Welcome to Freedom 106.5 FM, Dr. Bolden. And how are you doing?
Thank you. I'm doing well. Good morning to you as well. It's a warm day in the U.S., so when spring is coming, we are generally in a good mood.
Oh, yes.
So I'm in a good mood today.
So spring brings new beginnings, new flowers. You just see rebirth happening in spring. And you're in the United States right now, so you know a little later I'm going to ask you about the atmosphere as you see it in the United States. It must be something to see in awe.
Yes, the changing of the seasons. I do love my Caribbean weather. Mm-hmm. And I intend to spend more time in that kind of a tropical environment. But I do like to see the changing of the seasons, and that actually feeds my creative spirit as well.
So tell me a little bit about yourself. I know that doctor is in front of, the letters are in front of your name. So you're a doctor of literature, or is that doctor of medicine?
No, neither.
Neither?
Neither. I'm always surprising folks. My background is in both social work and public health. Right. Mm-hmm. I am a professor in the Department of Social Work at Coppin State University in Baltimore, Maryland. Mm-hmm. But I've also always had this creative side. And so now I'm finding different ways to merge the creative part with the other areas that I'm trained in. So my books, my games, all of those things are now being incorporated in the classroom setting, mm-hmm. and also being used by practitioners.
So the area of social work, what drew you to that?
Well, I was always a people person, and I always enjoyed advocating for those who are marginalized. My first love was law, mm-hmm. and I wanted to be a criminal law, but I couldn't quite resolve doing my job so well and getting folks off who were guilty. And so when I went to the United States decades ago, and I explained to the counselor my passion to be an advocate and my passion for helping people to move from a less desirable place to more desirable place, mm-hmm. They were able to convince me that social work was one of the best fits for me. Mm-hmm. And public health marries well with social work.
Now, the thing public health, you automatically think the healthcare system, as in body and disease and all of that. There's more to that, isn't there?
Yes, because I'm more subscribed to the World Health Organization's definition of health, which is more than just the absence of disease. Mm-hmm. So we look at the wellness field, we look at the psychological, the physical, the emotional, the spiritual, the financial, all of those areas. So we look at it in a more holistic manner. And so even now, one of the areas that I focus on is targeting men, because we're the ones that tend to be not utilize the healthcare system as we should, mm-hmm. globally, mm-hmm. right? whether it relates to physical or mental health. And so I have been working with some folks in Ghana. This is this year would mark the second men's wellness retreat that we are doing in that country. And I am also doing, we are also planning for one to occur in Barbados in October, and then also some other places.
Mm-hmm. So in your research, what would contribute to what you described as men not utilizing or going to the different services that are offered for health?
Like everyone, we fall victim to the stigma associated, say, with mental health. And we have been also socialized to be strong, to be always in charge and get it together. And so going talking about our feelings and, you know, expressing our emotions, it's not something that we are expected to do. We are something that we are given permission to do by society to the same degree. I must, however, say that perception is changing, but it still has a long way to go. We are now becoming, several are now becoming more emotionally intelligent and recognizing that it's okay to express our feelings or express our emotions, because more and more young boys and young black boys and men are dying because they are keeping all of these things bottled up. It's not that they're hurting any less than women are, but the freedom to get it out and expressing it is not always something that's validated. Some say they would like men to talk about the feelings more, but in some instances, when you do, you are still looked at as soft or weak. While the opposite is true, it takes a strong person to be allow themselves to be vulnerable.
And in terms of your work, how has the move to change that narrative to make young men and boys feel more comfortable to open up, to receive the help that they need? Because in some cases, I would gather from your research as well, most persons, well, I'm including women here as well in this statement, they don't even know that they are in a cycle that is detrimental to them.
Yes, right? And
don't even know how to recognize it, the language, etc. Yeah.
Right. And so it is not the job of one particular discipline, nor one particular approach, and it must occur on multiple levels as well. Men usually talk about what's going on with them through doing something, through being actively engaged in some kind of activity. For instance, when I was working with one group of individuals in a city in Pittsburgh, where they were in Pittsburgh, sorry, and we were working with some of the young guys. And so as we were building go-karts or doing things with our hands, then that allowed the relationship amongst the males to develop. And then slowly they began to talk about what's going on with them. As opposed to with women, you can more come together as a group and say, let's just talk, let's just share about what's going on with us. And then sometimes the coloring, through coloring, you look at the colors sometimes people use, you look at the proximity when they are drawing, the proximity of certain images of certain people or figures, and then you begin to probe a little bit more. Why did you do this? And as they begin to open up, right, then you begin to journey with them as far as discovering what may be going on with them. And I must say that all of us, to some degree, battle with different mental health issues. There's some that are more intense than others, right? And some of us can function quite well without anyone little bit on any disruption or clear disruption in our daily activities. But all of us, I would suggest, could do with being healthier mentally, not only healthier physically, but healthier mentally as well.
Now, you mentioned coloring, and today we are highlighting your book, My Coloring Companion. Does this product come from that research? And it's interesting that you bring in art as a form of therapy, seeing as not many parents like people to get into art because they find it's a waste of time. How do you convince people that, how to put it in their terms, scribbling on a piece of paper can be part of therapy?
You see, and I'm glad that you presented it that way, because when we think of art, it's more than just scribbling on a piece of paper. Like, for instance, like one of the first exercises I have in that book is I said, okay, draw your portrait. And some people say, okay, I don't know how to draw. I said, but my instructions in the book is to, as you're thinking about your portrait does not only have to be a drawing. It could be an emoji, it could be a word, it could be a combination of words, a poem, a song, anything that captures how you feel at the particular moment, right? So it encourages you to sit and be present with your feelings, to name your feelings as such, right? And art is also music. Art is poetry as well. And we all know the power of music. We all know the power of poetry and how those things really captures how people are feeling and present it in a more concise way that people may more tend to embrace. Calypsos, if you think about calypsos are social commentaries. That's an art form, right? It captures how we feel and it allows people to get a release. As you're dancing is an art form, right? And all of those things can also be captured in even in this book. As you draw people sometimes dancing, and how you position the individuals, the size of the individuals, the colors you associate with certain things. Like for instance, when I did a book launch in Barbados, and one of the artwork asked for people to color a trash can. And I was surprised that a few persons made the trash can very colorful. So I said, why did you have the trash can looking so colorful? And they said, because they're hoping that when they put things in there that are not as attractive, that because it's being placed in something that is attractive, that the transformation would occur, right? So art gives people some freedom to express how they're feeling that they otherwise might not be allowed to.
Now, it's interesting. I want to go back a little bit to something that you said as well. It is interesting that you talk about colors and then the way in which you draw. You say that you kind of see yourself on the paper. Can you go a little bit into that? Because I've heard that theory, being an artist as myself, the way that you draw figures, it's almost it is a reflection on how you see yourself, which is so strange because you're looking at the object. How do you see the connection? How does that work?
Like if you think about, say if we use what we wish we didn't have to talk about, but I spoke about it in my class yesterday, child abuse and neglect, right? And you see the child draw a image of a family, and you see some individuals are close to each other, and someone is at a distance, they're isolated. It then allows you to ask the child, if you use that as an example, why is this person or this child so far removed from the others? What is going on there? Or if it's supposed, you know, it's a nuclear family, but dad is on the outside looking in. It allows you to probe and then say, okay, why is dad on the outside looking in? Why is that disconnection there? Or if you see the child draw a picture where they're holding their arm, or they're positioning their bodies like if they're all in a fetal position, then you could probe what's going on with the child. Why are they in that position? And so in some of my books, it allows space for people to draw, but also to write, because some people may be more expressive as far as journaling, and some may capture their emotions or capture what's going on with them through a drawing or through coloring. I hope that answers your question.
Interesting. It's just that the connection between art and that type of expression to solve social issues, it's beginning to be more spoken of, explored. And you never really saw the connection before. So in your work, from the perspective of the American story and the Caribbean story, is there much difference? And can it be applied to the Caribbean living?
Very, very much so. There is a saying that when America sneezes,
we catch the cold.
We catch the cold, right? So it's just a microcosm, right? Yes, there's definitely a strong connection. Now, one could argue that generally speaking, the United States allows more freedom of expression in several ways. And that is true from my experience in certain settings, right? But I see a lot of similarities to the same thing. If we look at challenges with young men, right, or the increasing rate of suicide, right, amongst adolescent males, that is something that's filtering down to the Caribbean as well. If we look at the whole issue of colorism, right, that is something that the United States, with its quote-unquote diverse environment, is wrestling with. That is something that the Caribbean, although we don't like to talk about it much, that the Caribbean is wrestling with. So even with some of my coloring books for children, I dealt with that uncomfortable issue of colorism. One was entitled, "Please Don't Call Me Black," and then the other one was, "What Color Am I?" So you look at both extremes. The guy that was ostracized because by some lighter complexion blacks, right? Because he was dark skinned, and then the young lady who was very light complexioned and didn't quite fit in. She wasn't white, right? But she wasn't black enough for some of the blacks. So those are things that are still perpetuated in the United States, although it is decreasing, what some can argue, but it's also in existence in Barbados. But sometimes is that, for example, in the Caribbean, I should say, but is that underground society where sometimes people don't want to talk about it.
All right. So on that note, we're going to take a short break. And when we come back, how can we use your coloring book, your coloring companion and journal, especially in a time like this where the current state of the world has us on edge? We'll talk more on that when we come back.
Okay.
Go big, go digital, go everywhere with the Big Board Company. With 15 high-impact digital billboard locations across the country, the Big Board Company puts your brand where it belongs. front and center. With state-of-the-art LED screens in the most high-traffic areas across the country, you are guaranteed to be seen. Get flexible scheduling, real-time updates, and the most eye-catching and dynamic visuals. With free artwork from local businesses to national brands, we bring reach and visibility like nobody else does. 15 locations, endless possibilities. Advertise with the Big Board Company and get that Big Board impact. Call 723-9595 for more information.
Trinidad and Tobago Tech AML 2026 is here. Join leading experts and regional regulators as they break down the future of compliance culture, fintech risk, and AML strategy. Thursday, April 9th at the Festival Ballroom Radisson Hotel, or attend virtually. Enjoy networking, expert insights, and verifiable certificate of participation. Group discounts are available, so bring your team. Call 868-222-8928 or email conference at nemlctt.com. Tech AML 2020. Where compliance meets innovation.
Higher purchase. Credit card. Loan on top of loan. This feeling heavy.
When debts start to weigh you down, it's time for a fresh start with fresh cash from NCB Merchant Bank. Their unsecured loan can consolidate your debts into one simple payment. No collateral needed.
One payment, one date, less stress?
Exactly. With lowered requirements, you can borrow up to $150,000 to clear your debts. Apply online and get the funds straight to your bank account. No branch visit needed. Fast and efficient. Apply today at ncbloanaccess.com.
Cindy, what are you doing home so early?
I come to meet you first to go grocery shopping and to get the kids stuff for school. Boy, I hear my co-workers talking about a grocery in Arima and one in Barataria who have the best prices. Come, let me go right now.
Oh, God. Look at this place. I never see a grocery like this in this country.
Darling, look at parking. Like these people own the whole street.
Look at these prices. Like everything reduced. And you ain't see how helpful and friendly their staff is.
You see, we get everything and still have lots of money remaining to get the kids stuff for school and also to carry them somewhere good for the vacation.
If you want to save money and live better, shop at Mirage Westside Supermarket in Arima or Jumbo Foods in Barataria, where shopping is a pleasure.
Farmers, are you looking for a quick knockdown of harmful insects? Cas Delta provides an effective control for a wide range of insects. Cas Delta is effective via indigestion and direct contact, causing insects to die instantly. Cas Delta is a fast-acting contact insecticide and knocks down the insect almost immediately due to its injective mode of action. Cas Delta is extremely cost-effective. Cas Delta is distributed by Cas Agricultural Supplies Limited and is available at all leading agro shops. Telephone 673-6802 or 354-5813.
This is The Human Impact on Freedom 106.5 FM. Speak your mind.
Welcome back, TNT. If you're just joining me, we are speaking with Dr. Errol Bolden, author from Barbados. Well, first of all, he was born in Trinidad, raised in Barbados, and is currently living in the United States. So he has the diaspora covered and is talking about social work. Also, how men and women as well cope with day-to-day struggles. And in the current climate that we are in, where it is one minute it looking like all is going to break loose, and then next minute it looks like we might have a handle on things, and then the ripple effect of those, the leaders who are, I don't even want to say playing puppets, but you understand, the connections are being slowly eroded in the Caribbean, especially with CARICOM and trying to stick together and so on. We've been dealing with a lot of anxiety. So my last question to him before was, how do we deal with those states of anxiety and talk of conflict and conflict resolution in the use of art and art therapy, especially referring to his latest book, which is The Coloring Companion and Journal. How do we navigate through these very unique, should I say unique, or at least a retelling of it? How do we deal with these times?
That is a good question. If I could package it and you know, sell it, I would be a wealthy man.
Mm.
But clearly we're living in a society where we are very overstimulated. And not sometimes I wrestle with how much of the news I should listen to.
Mm-hmm.
Because once we hear something, we have to process it. We have to deal with it. And so I have to sometimes think about not only what I should listen to, but when I should listen to it. So I try not to even listen to the news at night, close to when I need to go to sleep, because it obviously, once I hear it, I have to deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
And so the coloring allows one to sit and quiet our minds a little bit, because overstimulation can be unhealthy. And there was an author that tends to write a lot about happiness on the television, being interviewed, I believe it was on CBS this morning in the United States. And he talked about the fact that people need to be more comfortable with boredom, right? That we need to give ourselves an opportunity to sit in some quiet spaces where we don't always feel we need to be doing something. We need constantly going. And the coloring allows one to sit and focus, right? As I said, and quiet your mind a little bit. This this book is not simply a coloring book. I call it a creative sanctuary as such, because also included in the book, even as you are encouraged to color, you're also encouraged to read and connect with some poetry which meets you where you are, right? And the poetry, like songs like calypsos and all of those lyrics of the songs that we gravitate to all throughout the year, right, captures where we are, mm-hmm. right? And so this book puts people's feelings on papers, and something about when you read it and you tend to process it, it tends to take you some places and begin some conversations which could be the start of healing, because we all have a lot of things we're dealing with and we're constantly looking for an outlet. So the poetry, like the drawing, allows folks to connect with where they are, but also gives them an outlet to begin the dialogue, which is a step towards healing. Also in this coloring book, it allows to draw. And I remember when we did the launch, some people said, but I cannot draw. But I was amazed at what folks produced. Some people drew stick figures. They drew some figures that looked quite confused, and I asked them if they were willing to talk about what they drew. And some folks got up there and said, I know this looks like confusion, but this is how I feel at the moment. And they began talking about the drawing, right, which was a little bit more than stick figures, allowed them that space to get the release as far as the confusion that they were dealing with. And also in this book, as I said, it's not simply a coloring book. It's a space in here for people to journal, and journal without judgment. We tell folks, just it is your story, right? So just write, not what you think others would expect you to write. It is your story. And so at the end of this book, I tell folks that they become a co-author and a co-illustrator, because the drawings captured their story. The journaling captures their story. And so it is theirs. This companion becomes theirs, and they could look back on it. They can reflect, right? Mm-hmm. And see what growth has occurred and where some growth is still needed.
Now, in terms of migration and young minds, can this be an opportunity to have these young people state what they're feeling at the moment? Because it is a huge shifting, and they are in the space of, well, the adults are telling me what to do, but I'm not quite able to figure out what I'm feeling. Can you see that helping young minds keep on track?
Yes, because it allows them to tell their story. And I always say it's not about judgment, whether there's the drawing or the journaling. It is, we want to know how you feel. No judgments with the drawing, no rules. You just get it out there and allow. And some people, and this one is an adult coloring book, but I have coloring books with children that mm-hmm. follow the same kind of structure, right? And it's amazing how the kids come and they really get into it. And they ask questions, and then they even write some things that makes some of us as adults say, I never thought about it that way, right? Mm-hmm. And then I remember one parent who says, you know, Doc, I am so an involved parent. I talk with my kids a whole lot. But I never knew that this is how they felt about such and such. Mm-hmm. And they said, thank you for helping us to provide that space for our kids to say some things that we did not know we needed to ask about.
Mm-hmm. And well, from the short bio that I have here on you, you've written 3 books before. This would be your 4th installment, yes?
No, that's the coloring books, but I have about 20-something books.
Oh, so I was now about to ask you what other genre you would venture into, but it is more about social work. Have you ever thought of going beyond that?
No, it's actually not. It's not only about social work. Actually, I more classify myself as an inspirational writer.
Right.
So sometimes it may be in the form of poetry. Sometimes it may be a journal or a coloring book like this. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it may be I'm working on my first novel now. Sometimes it may be a devotional guide, or sometimes it may be a therapeutic game. Mm-hmm. So it is not limited to social work, but one can tell that someone who's trained in the helping profession authored, right, the product. Mm-hmm. Because my writings are influenced by not only by my professional training, but my faith as well, and my experiences as someone who's taught throughout the Caribbean, the United States, and on the African continent, mm-hmm. and in Asia. So my world experience, my worldview, is brought together not only through the professional lenses or through the faith lenses, but through the lived experiences.
So finally, you know, I have to ask this question as someone who's living in the United States currently and looking at the atmosphere that you're seeing. How are you navigating, and what advice would you give to any Caribbean national who's in the United States right now?
To be very diligent, that would be the number one thing. I have been in the United States for quite a long time, and I am a citizen, but I still have to be mindful of the fact that I still have a strong Caribbean accent, and that by itself sometimes makes me vulnerable. But I cannot just keep living in fear. I have to make sure that I'm more intentional about finding those spaces or engaging in those activities that would keep me healthy and keep me encouraged, right?
Mm-hmm.
Sorry about that, right? And so my writings allow for my, it's a creative outlet. And I push folks, I said, find those outlets, sometimes come together. And just like how the books encourage you to talk about what's going on, talk about some of the fears, talk about some of your anxiety, but you cannot, as you say, we cannot be a penny wise, an old saying, I know this is dating myself, a penny wise and a pound foolish.
Well, so I finished the saying, so we are in the same boat.
So one must be diligent, but you cannot allow yourself to be ruled by fear, right? But be honest with how you feel.
Well, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to talk to us about your latest book. And here is to success and to the new one. And we hope to speak with you again soon.
Thank you so very much. I look forward to that. And I do, I was in Trinidad for Christmas, and I hope to be back down there sometime before the year ends.
All right. Well, you know we's home. So we'll welcome you with open arms. Take care. Enjoy the rest
of
your day.
Much.
Take care.
Please do the same.
You're tuned into the all-new Freedom 106.5. 106.5.